Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever episode of King's Dilemma. Thank you for joining us. Here at King's Dilemma, we understand that all kings face difficult dilemmas on a daily basis. Heavy as a head that wears a crown is a statement that references the burdens and difficulties of being a leader. Any person who has been in a significant leadership position knows the meaning of the statement. And as leaders of our families and our communities, we all face difficult decisions on a daily basis. The goal of this program is to offer some perspective to our listeners and give them the tools to be able to make the best decisions for themselves, their family, and their communities. My name is David Andrade. I will be hosting this little roundtable discussion. To my left, we have
Vicente Sanabria, therapeutic coach for Father's Uplift, and I'm glad to be here sitting to your left-hand side.
Vicente, the one and only.
Yes, sir. Dr. Charles Daniels, Dr. Daniels, happy to be here, CEO of Father's Uplift Incorporated. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
Let's get it.
The Dr. Charles Daniels.
Tory Joyner, executive assistant to the CEO and CFO.
There we go. Talk that talk, man. Listen, first of all, man, I'm so grateful to be here with you guys, man. I'm so excited for this. And I know our viewers are going to be really excited to hear this. And I know we're about to help a lot of people, man. Sure. And so with that being said, today we have a very interesting topic. We're going to be talking about depression and anxiety.
Those are my favorite ones of my entire life.
It's a good combo, man. It's powerful combo.
Yeah. Man. Like chocolate and
peanut. What's up, Charles? What you got to say on this, man?
Man, depression and anxiety. Taboo topics in communities of color. Mm. We got to be real, man. Every king and queen experiences depression and anxiety. And there's levels to this thing. Depression can paralyze you. Anxiety can paralyze you. It also can be a lesson to help you do greater things. But it also can be something that you can function with until it gets the best of you. Mm. So with that being said, if someone says, hey, I'm depressed or I'm anxious, don't be afraid. Lean in. Because it's a gift in disguise. That's what I got to say about depression and anxiety. Let's get it. Let's get it. I had to make a rhyme, man. Yeah. I had to make a rhyme. Ain't nothing wrong with being depressed or anxious. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah. You know? All right. Well, so we all have these handy whiteboards. The point of that is because I would like to ask some questions and just kind of put it out there to facilitate some conversation. So the first question I want to ask everyone is, have you ever dealt with depression or anxiety? So I'll give you guys a second to respond. Y'all ready? Bang, what we got? Yes. Okay. Listen, this is almost a see for those who need it. Yes. You can hit the SAP button, and all it'll right. come out, and they'll say yes. You know what I'm saying? Oh man. So wait, Tori, you ain't never dealt with no depression or anxiety?
Never.
Okay. Have you ever had any friends who have?
Well, obviously so. Yes. Obviously now.
Yeah. So Charles, man, how did you find out? Like, when did you know? Like,
listen, as a therapist, man, and a leader, I have a high tolerance for stress, right? Mm-hmm. And nothing can break me unless I allow it to break me. So I had a physical recently, and my doctor said, you know what, Charles, I think you're depressed. I said, what you mean, doc? I feel good. Everything is going well at my business. You know, I got a great team. My kids are happy. I'm happy. At least I feel happy. He said, nah, Charles, but you have low energy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have these consistent headaches. You know, sometimes you don't want to do much because you're too tired. You know, I can keep listing these symptoms, but you're depressed. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? So it took me going to a physical, which I don't go often, but I'm about to start, for him to tell me, hey, man, you know what? You are experiencing depression. So that's when I found out. It took a doctor to tell me. Okay. And I think sometimes those leaders think we're untouchable and nothing can faze us. I think kings think they're untouchable, man, but everything can hurt you just like it hurt anybody else. Yeah. Gotta get checked out. Yeah.
That's real.
Yeah, man.
So Vicente, when would you say, you said you've dealt with it your whole life. When what's the earliest age you can remember being depressed?
I tell you, the earliest age was 7 years old when I opened up the refrigerator at 88 Skillman Street in Brooklyn. Saw a bottle of Manischewitz wine, and I poured out a glass. You remember those, you probably don't, Prince Count jelly glasses. That when you finish with the jelly, you get this little glass. So I poured the amount of sugar sent to it, and then drank it. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of people don't know that alcohol is a depressant. Mm-hmm. So I started off by taking the depressant, and my whole life has been like focused on that until 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I was severely depressed and not even knowing it, and doing crazy things as a result of my depression.
Interesting. Mm. So how did you know, like, how were you able to label it as depression?
As an adult in therapy.
Interesting.
Which was hard because in the Latinx community, particularly the Puerto Rican community, whenever therapy is mentioned, our response is, you don't say local.
Yeah, that's true.
That's only for crazy people. Yeah. But like, I was forced into it because it was either go into therapy or do something to end my existence on earth, mm-hmm. which I was okay with. Okay. That's how depression worked in my life.
Okay. Mm. That's, man, that's powerful. And you know what? That's actually what was the next question that I was going to ask. And so, I mean, we can just kind of answer this out loud. I mean, have you ever, like, considered a suicide?
Yeah, man. Yeah, suicide was my release. Mm-hmm. And I was too afraid to do it myself. So I used to get in beef. If I knew that a dude had a gun, mm-hmm. I'd get into a beef with him to try and get him to pull the gun out and shoot me. Yeah. But it had the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Everyone thought that I was tough.
Yeah.
But actually, I was afraid.
Yeah.
And so that didn't happen, and I had to live another day. And everything was horrible.
Yeah. How about you, Charles?
Oh, man. You know, for me, it gets to a point where, you know, in the past, when I have considered it, and I was very young, I was at a point where I felt as if I had no meaning in life, right? Yeah. And when you have no meaning in life, or you feel like you have no meaning, you can't add value to anyone, you don't have community, at least you think you don't have community because you're so depressed, you end up considering ending your life. So that's where I was a long time ago, man. But let me tell you, once you find value, it's a different story. But that low point is a place that a lot of people has gotten to, even though they may not want to admit it, we all go there sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's a very valuable point, man. I mean, I'll tell you what, man, I've been depressed since I was a child. You know, actually, funny story is, I remember as a kid, I was maybe like 12, 13 years old. The one person I really looked up to was my cousin. And mm-hmm. we're sitting in a car one day, I'm talking to him, and I had never met my dad. And I'm telling him, and I'm like, man, you know, I think I'm really sad all the time because I miss my dad. I never met him. And he just looked at me and he was like, man, David, you know what? I think you should just not think about it. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, okay, I'm just going to stop thinking about it. And from there on, it was like, okay, I'm going to sit in silence. And it was like, yo, listen, he's so loving. He's so caring. But he just didn't know what to do, right?
Yeah.
And some of that, like, I think, like you said, you know, nobody wants to talk about depression or therapy because they don't want to be labeled as crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, it's religion, right?
Like, absolutely.
Like, I don't need therapy because I got prayer.
Yeah.
I got God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that it was one of those things where it's also very uncomfortable for people who love you to hear how much you're suffering. And so they kind of want to give you the silver lining talk. And I mean, like, well, I mean, I know you're depressed. I know you're sad. But like, at least you're alive, right? At least you're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
At least you got a job. At least you got a pretty girlfriend. At least you're making some money, right? But like, depression was just so real for me from such a young age. And like, once I heard that from the person that I look up to, I was like, all right, well, I got to keep it to myself, right? And
yeah.
So you start to find different ways to kind of deal with the depression. And so personally for me, it was like, oh, I'm going to talk to women. Women make me feel good. So when I talked to women, it was like, it was building my self-esteem. And I realized that like, that is a very unstable foundation for a man's self-worth.
Yeah.
You know what, my experience has had more to do with people confiding in me about their depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to really appreciate that more as I get older.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize the seriousness of it and the depth of it. So, I understood what depression was, right?
Yeah.
But the depth of it and the seriousness of it and the importance of someone sharing it with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a lot of close relationships with people due to the fact that they've confided that in me. I'm like, all right. And so now I have a better understanding of the seriousness of that and what that means to other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best way that I can say that's my relationship with it.
So, Tori, I got to ask you some questions, man,
because
you were not always in a wheelchair, right? So when you woke up and you found out that this was your situation, like, you didn't feel depressed then?
No.
Interesting. So what do you think helped you get through that?
My family.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, one thing did happen, well, two things, right? So when they woke me up out of the coma, So the doctor said, do you know who this person is? Pointed to a person, right? It's my mom. So I looked and I said, like, just made a face, like, are you serious? Of course I know who it is.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that at the point, at that time, like, they weren't really sure when they woke me up, but I was gonna know who the person was because of the trauma that I had taken to my brain. I had no clue. The next thing I was asked was, can you move your body? I couldn't move at all. And I was just like, that's it. But I will say, the only day that like I finally realized like how bad a situation I was in, was this one they were gonna send me from inpatient therapy. Excuse me. And the person said, Tori, I was sitting at the table, said, Tori, what I did was I made sure that I gave you your wheelchair for 7 years. I said, 7 years? So I thought I was at therapy, like, yo, we're gonna recover, we're gonna be there inpatient, we're gonna do our thing, we're gonna work out.
Yeah.
They came to me and said, yo, Tori, listen, I got you, I hooked you up. What type of hookup is this? Like,
oh, that is funny.
He said, yes, I made sure I gave you your wheelchair for 7 years. You good? I get with you.
Oof.
Oh, shoot. That was the one time where I considered, like, okay, I might be in a situation here. That's the only time. And I mean, I've been using wheelchair for 10 years now.
Yeah.
So it's the only time where I ever even thought it through. Yeah. But otherwise, nah, I've been.
That was the only time you thought about depression or the time you thought about suicide? What was it?
Nah. I just thought, like, oh, shoot, like, are you. Get to break wall right now.
Okay.
But no, I didn't feel I felt the challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, I can say that, right? I felt the challenge, but not like, yeah, I should quit, or I just thought about, okay, what do I have to do? What's the next step? But I just I realized that I don't know every damn thing about what's going on with me.
Okay. That's interesting.
Let me say something about that too, because I think that's so important, because a lot of us are depressed, don't even know we're depressed.
Hey, that's
and I think that's a true point, because you know, I was telling my wife recently, I called my boy Tori. Tori is my executive assistant, but he's also like a great friend to me. And I said, I called my 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm working out at Crunch Fitness, right? And I'm on the treadmill.
Talk that talk.
And I
early
said,
in the morning,
and I said, Tori, I'm on this treadmill and I'm crying. I said, I don't know how the hell I'm crying. Why I'm crying? Everybody looking at me like, what's wrong with you? I'm just crying. And I'm a man who's in touch with his emotions. If I cry, typically I know why I'm crying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for the last couple of weeks when I had called Tori, I said, man, brother, sometimes I'm just in the car, I'm just start crying.
Okay.
I'm on the treadmill, I'm crying. Yeah. Like, why am I crying? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think those are signs of depression. Another sign, irritability.
Okay.
Right? Me and my wife, we were talking, and we got in an argument over macaroni and cheese.
I got
very irritable about macaroni and cheese because the cheese wasn't melted properly.
The issue
wasn't the cheese. The issue was I was depressed.
Yeah.
Right? So I think, you know, some of us thinking, hey, you know, ain't nothing wrong with me, man. Dog, I'm good. You know, baby, I'm good. You ain't good. You hurting. Yeah. When I went to the doctor, my doctor's ending. He said, Charles, you know, some people have to worry about food, right? You have an agency. You have an agency, Charles, and you are serving people. You have marriage issues? I said, no. He said, your kids happy? I said, yes. He said, your son happy? I said, yes. He said, can you feed them? I said, yes. He said, can you drive back and forth to work? Do you have a car?
Yeah.
I said, yes. Make a long story short, man, it's just there's things that he told me that we have to be thankful for that sometimes we forget that really contributes to the depression when we're seeking and we're constantly trying to get things that we haven't found value for what we have. So make a long story short, signs and having value, understanding the value of the things that you have is extremely important.
Let me just say something that what Tori said is that, you know, a lot of times things happen to us. You know, people might not remember this, but you know, the great prophet once said that life is what happens when you're out making plans. That prophet is John Lennon. It's prophetic when you think about it. Life is what happens when you're out making plans. And so we make assumptions. Something big happens, like, you know, the brother winds up in a wheelchair. And so, oh man, the brother must be depressed. Someone gets divorced. Oh man, the brother must be depressed. A fire in the house, brother must be depressed. That's our assumptions on what I think he should be feeling.
Yeah.
But they feel something different because they're in touch with their emotions. And so they don't have to go by what I think that they should feel. So, like, you know, Tori says that, you know, the first time, you know, I heard it, I'm thinking, how can that be? You know, the brother's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
How can you not be depressed over that?
Yeah.
But when you have a purpose in life, when you have you're in touch with your philosophy and you have a vibrancy para la vida, You don't get depressed like that. And so I really appreciate them sharing that because Thank I'm going to go through something and I'm going to be thinking about you.
But there's one thing Tori says. Tori doesn't see the wheelchair. Right, he doesn't see the wheelchair.
Talk that talk.
And some of us, if some of us in Tori's situation, we see the wheelchair. Tori would tell you, no, I can walk. He would tell you straight up. So his perspective is very important too. I'm sorry, Tori.
No.
Yeah.
Nah, and you saying something important too, because I'm always challenged the one that I'm lying about that. So you got to know me for a while. Once you know me for a while, you say, no, Tori's telling the truth. He really is sincere about his faith. And about the real faith that I'm a walking man. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And that's not to say there's anything wrong with one using a wheelchair, right? Like that, I have to be mindful and considerate of my language at all times, right? Yeah. Like, what's wrong with using a wheelchair, right? What's wrong with that? It's nothing whatsoever, right? But this is my personal experience. This is what I'm dealing with, right? And I honor that. And so I have to stand with that at all times.
Tori, can you say more about being a walking man? Because I mean, when I first met you, you know, people were like, wow, you know, wheelchair. I'm like, man, I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm walking, right? Can you say a little bit more about just that perspective and believing that you're a walking man despite people seeing a wheelchair?
Yeah, well, it comes from a perspective that I have about what it means to walk, right? So I think anytime you're placed in a spot where you're the back up against the wall, you're sitting down, think about the language that we use. That person's upright.
That powerful
stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's so many things so many ways that I can be described, right? Mm-hmm. That wouldn't even be descriptive of me sitting down.
Yeah.
Right.
You're a stand-up guy.
Yeah. I once asked a theologian this. I saw them in. There are people who walk up to me in the street, don't know who I am. Walk up to me in the street, they say, "Excuse me, sir, I have a question. Why are you using a wheelchair?" And they say to me too, they be like, "We know this, I know this is inappropriate." I've had this happen to me regularly, like on a regular basis. So I said, "I don't know, you tell me." And he's like, nah, but it's a spiritual question that I ask. He's like, you know how Jesus said, who do you say I am? I said, I don't know, you tell me. They just say, you just don't come off as a person that would be using a wheelchair. So I asked this theologian, a mystic. I said, why do people come up to me in the street? And first of all, like, they feel comfortable asking that question.
Right.
Second of all, they really feel have faith that I shouldn't be in this spot. Mm. And he said, "That's because you're a walking man." He said, "Don't forget that." And he walked away.
That's true. You're a
walking man. What he said.
Powerful.
That is powerful.
And I received that. That's the thing. Mm. I ain't just hear the word. No, I received that.
So perspective.
That's prophetic. And you're taking it in, you're taking that prophecy, and you know, because we're surrounded by prophecies, you're walking that. I'll take that.
But isn't that like powerful, the fact that you can believe in something greater despite your physical circumstances, right? I mean, just the power of perspective, the power of faith, the power of belief, it's important.
I'll tell you, man, the resilience that you show is like incredible. Cause I'll tell you, so like one of the things that really set me off like deep into like my depression was one of my best friends had committed suicide. And I just remember being so angry all the time and like blaming everyone and thinking to myself, like, why did this happen to like a good person? And the fact that like, listen, man, like, I mean, I know this is like somewhat of a problematic statement, but I used to say this to myself all the time. Like, yo, what would I do if I woke up in a wheelchair? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I remember thinking like, yo, like, somebody better keep an eye on me because I don't know how much longer I'm gonna last here. Mm-hmm. And so to hear this perspective, I'm like, I would have never expected that. And like, that's like, I'm gonna be honest with you. That's like, to me, that's like some real like just like gutter gangster energy where you like, yo, I got all the fight in me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm gonna keep moving, baby.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
True.
I got a question for y'all, actually.
Yeah.
Somebody said to me, we were sitting there having a conversation, and the person said to me, "So what are we here for? Like, what the hell is the point of life? Like, what are we here for, just playing around? Like there better be an afterlife or something like that. Because, yo, the type of stuff that we experiencing and we going through, like, what we doing? Like, what we here for? Like, y'all got a statement on that? Like, what the hell we here for?"
I can tell you, I'm here, and I've learned this, and this has helped me to live the life that I've always envisioned me living, but didn't know how to get to. I'm here to serve, because it's in giving that I receive, and so that's as simple as I can make.
I love that question, man. I love that question.
Yeah,
serve.
Yeah. Because I think the purpose is what helped me get out of my depression, right? It's finding a purpose for myself and like having goals and moving towards a certain direction. So like, listen, for me, it's like, it's the same thing. I want to serve. I want to help people. I want to help other people like me. And that's like, listen, I don't know how I ended up at Father's Office. Like, it was a bunch of little things that happened that pushed me in this direction. When I got here, I was like, yo, I remember talking to Charles the first time. I was like, this is it. This is it. And I remember one time I walked through here and I read that quote right there. It said, "We love our fathers and the fatherless back to life." And I remember thinking, like, that's what they gave me here. They love me back to life, yo. Because I didn't know what that meant or what that felt like. And coming through these doors, man, it was a special feeling.
Dave, what I tell you first got here? I said,
man, listen. Listen, Charles was like, yo, listen, bro. You keep coming in here, you're going to fuck around and achieve your dreams. Which was a very special thing to hear because I knew at the time, Charles don't like to cuss. Charles do not like to cuss. So every time he would cuss, I felt like it was a badge of honor. Like, yo, listen, I love that. Yeah, man.
Charles, what we here for?
What's your purpose, Charles?
Like, the way we got, what the hell we here? What's the point?
You know, man, I think we're here to love, man. We're here to be our best selves for those that care about us and also for ourselves, man. Yeah. You know, for me, that's important, man. When I forget why I'm here for, which are my kids, my family, and me, and then I'm deserving to be here for myself and for them, that's important. Because when you get depressed when you don't think you're deserving, you think you have no meaning. So for me, that's what I'm here for. I'm valuable. Yeah. And I think all us brothers are valuable.
Talk that talk. Yeah.
Let's get
Yo, Tori, what's your purpose, man? Why are you here?
Yeah, you called me off guard.
Listen, we got you, man.
Let me tell you why I called Kirk. That was a good question that I had. And I'm over here listening.
Yeah.
I feel y'all. Like, I feel you. I'm here just for prophetic witness, right? And prophets bring messages of damnation. And few people know that, right? Most people see prophets as people who bring something to uplift you, whatever it might be, right? That's not what prophets do. Prophets bring messages of damnation. They come let you know what's actually happening, what's going on, and what's going on in real time. So that's what I'm here for.
Okay. I love that, man.
If I show up, listen, y'all who know me, right? We laugh, we joke all the time, right? Let y'all tell y'all. If I show up for something and I'm dead serious, what's going on, Charles?
It's game time.
Game time.
No doubt about it. We're gonna do this.
Yeah, we're gonna be laughing or whatever before that. Like, but if I gotta be there for something. Yeah. Well,
listen.
Yeah,
he ain't coming to play. Yeah.
Yo, let me tell you something, man. Thank you guys so much for participating. We got one little last segment for you guys before we head out, and it's called The King's Dilemma. So today, my man Tori is in the hot seat. So Tori, I am your friend. My name is Troy. I am in crisis, and I am coming to you in my moment of need. Tell me what you need to tell me to help me. All right, man.
Yeah.
So you ready to go through this?
Yeah, I'm ready to roll.
All right, man. So it's game time now.
What's up, Troy? What's going on?
I told it, man. I don't know, man. I've been having a hard time lately, bro. It's been tough to get out of bed. I hate my fucking job, bro. My boss is an asshole. My wife's stressing me out, dog. Like, I don't know, man. I think I'm just having a hard time.
Why didn't you come to me?
What you mean? I'm here right now, bro. What's your problem? Like, yo, like, you, come on, man. Why are you giving me a hard time about this?
Nah. But you came to me for whatever reason. You came to me. Why do you even think I could be helpful to you?
I don't know, man. Yo, I'll tell you what, man. I've been having trouble eating. I don't want to eat. I ain't gonna lie. I've been drinking a little bit more than usual. But, like, I mean, it's not like a big deal or nothing. But I have, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't know, man. I'm thinking about, like, just... I don't know, man. Every day I wake up, I leave my house, I go to work, and I'm just like, yo, what if I don't come back? Maybe that'll be easier for everybody involved. You know what I'm saying?
But then you didn't answer my question, though. Why you call me?
Man, I don't know, bro. Like, I'm just listening.
I mean, that's what I'm asking you, dog. Because you called me for whatever reason you thought I was useful to you. Why would you call me?
Yo, I kind of just want to talk about it for now because, like, I'm stressed, bro. Like, like I said, I wake up every day, I'll be tired, and, like, I don't even know if I like my kids like that no more, bro. I'm thinking about, like, I'm thinking about dipping, man, like, for real. Like, to be honest, I don't even think they're going to miss me, man. I think that they'd be better off if I just left.
I'm going to say this. Remember that time when we was in high school, though?
It was a lot of times in high school, man.
I know. Remember the time we was in high school, we saw a homegirl, and I told you not to tell.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, you know what? That's what we're going to do. Let's get together, right? And you just go grab something to eat. grab something to eat, let's chill. And then me and you be talking about it over dinner.
I mean, we could do that, man, but I don't know if that's gonna fix anything, man. I feel like lately I just I've been getting I've been short with people. I almost got into a fight the other day, you know what I'm saying? I was at the bakery and somebody was in front of me and they paid for their food and they just left the change on the counter, right? And I was like, yo, you left your change. And they were like, nah, I'm good. And I was like, yo, I said you left the change. And then we got into it. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I felt like it was a little disrespectful. So I was about to you know what I'm saying? I don't know that it was my job to teach him a lesson. But in that moment, it felt like it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. I just been I've been down, bro.
See, dog, that's what I like about you. Because you know what? You willing to explain and think people about what happened, right? So you telling me the whole story, everything, right? I already appreciate that about you already in the first place, right? You're thinking it through already. So obviously you're ready to roll and you're ready to make a little bit of change. So that's clear to me.
So what right,
I can see that you got it in you.
So let me ask you this, man. What do you think would be a next step? What do you think change looks like at this point? Because I don't know that I don't know. What do you think I should do?
Yeah. So I mean I think knowing you, I mean, listen, first of all, it's day to day for you, right? You gotta take your time, you gotta take a step back, right? Same way it always is, right? So first of all, the way you and I used to always chill, right? It could be one thing, sometimes we laughing, sometimes we going through different things, right? We experienced that before, and we in this spot again. You never given up before. Why would you give up this time?
I mean, I don't know, man. Every day it gets harder and harder. I feel like more and more things are piling up. I'll be real with you, Tori, man. The other day I got in the car, and I was on a highway, and I was like, man, I could just punch it right now. Just
You know what I mean? The other day, man, I got in my wheelchair, man. I was like, y'all should punch it.
Do
Willie.
I could just do a Willie, just punch it. Yeah. My wheelchair. Listen, dude, check it out, dog. Yo, come chill with me, right? Let's talk about it a little further, man. You know what I'm saying? But we're just gonna chill. We're gonna be ourselves and have fun, man. Let's talk about it and see what we can do. All right,
man. I appreciate that.
All
man.
Done. All done. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Bong bong, there it is. Come the King's on, Dilemma, King's yo. Dilemma. Nah, getting us to the finish line.
I like that. I've been in situations like that before, right? Yeah. That's not new, right? And the reason why I brought the reason why I brought up situations where it's like, look, yo, we remember that time we did this in high school, whatever it might be, right? I ain't trying to be no therapist.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that skill, right?
Yeah.
Anybody can do it. I don't mean that, but I ain't no professional. Right. Like, conversely, I know how to be a friend. I know how to love another person. Yeah. I know how to consider what kind of person that they are, right? The reason why I said to you, yo, you've been here before. I'm brand new. That's why I brought that up, right? Secondly, I brought up that point that, yo, obviously you're able to think this through. Mm. You explained to me what the situation was with the experience. You just told me all that. I didn't ask you all that. You told me. So obviously you have a therapeutic mind in the way to explain things, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the way that I would go about helping a person.
Okay.
Professionally, I don't know how y'all do it.
And we all can do that to our friends who come to us, right?
Yeah,
validate,
absolutely.
Reflect.
I think all the kings listening, man, just remember, check in with your friends, tell them you love them. If you're hurting, check in with your friends and tell them how you're feeling. Don't be afraid to try something new in terms of looking for help. And just remember that there's a purpose. Find the purpose, and then I think that helps a lot with finding direction and getting yourself out of the hole. So man, with that being said, yo, that's the first episode of King's Dilemma.
Let's get it.
Yo, thank you guys so much. Yo, it's game time.
Game time, baby.
Here we go.
All right.